all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Paul in this chapter paints, first of all, our dilemma. And then he gives us our deliverance. And so my title today is Our Dilemma and Our Deliverance. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. All the world is guilty before God. God is righteous. It is His character. It's what He is. God is righteous. In Him there is no unrighteousness. And God cannot change His righteousness. And God cannot, because His righteousness, He cannot countenance unrighteousness in His presence. And yet, God loves humanity. God loves us. The Bible said that we were created in His image, and He created us that way. God created us in perfection. God created us in righteousness, but through rebellion and through falling away, man has fallen very far from what God intended us and created us to be. And there are a lot of problems today that we're facing. Anybody agree we got some problems we're facing in life and in the world? Paul begins to talk about it, and I'm going to begin here dissecting this in the verse number 9. He begins to talk about himself being a Jew and then the Gentiles. In Paul's day, it was Jews and Gentiles. That was the way the world was divided. And there was a very strong wall of prejudice and separation between the two. The Jews hated the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. And that's the way it was then. And I would have to say, regrettably, that prejudice is still alive in the world today. You know what the word prejudice means? It means to prejudge based on some apparent factor without any other consideration. In other words, there is prejudice of race. That is, to look at someone's race, and simply because they're of some race, you judge them without knowing the individual. You just judge them according to their race. There is prejudice about face. That is, you look at someone's appearance and you judge them according to their appearance, whether they're skinny or they're fat, or you think they're pretty or you think they're ugly, and you judge them according to their face. And then there is prejudice of place. Some people judge others prejudicially simply because of their place in life, whether they are the position they hold or don't hold, or the level of their education, or how much is in their bank account, and how much money they bring in on a monthly or weekly basis. And so there's a lot of prejudice factors in the world. It has not gone away, and it's not going away anytime soon. Amen. Praise God. But if we love God like we should love God, it can and will take that kind of prejudice out of our lives. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. And so that's a big problem that we still face, and it's very real in our world. And then there's the problem of religion. I'm not talking, there's a world of difference between having religion and having a relationship with God. Amen. Religion has caused a lot of problems, and in the present is causing a lot of problems in our world. Amen. Christianity, the name Christianity, it's a very wide umbrella. Yes, Christianity in the past has done some very atrocious things. And today, Islam is committing a lot of horrific crimes and doing terrible injustices against humanity. So religion can be a very, very dangerous thing and a very harmful thing. thing. Amen. And so we're not talking today about religion. I know we use that word sometimes in a good sense, and there's nothing wrong with the word. But I like to use not just religion, but I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be born again in the water and the Spirit. And amen, I want to be a child of God. And I want to bear a striking resemblance to my Heavenly Father so that others can see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise God. And so that's what we must do. Paul tells us in verse 10 that we're all unrighteousness. Look at this. It said, there is none righteous. No, not one. And that is so absolutely true. Amen. There is not one righteous person on this planet. There's not one person on this planet that has not done wrong. There's not one righteous. No, not one. Not only are we unrighteous, but we're also unreasonable. Verse 11 said, for there is none that understandeth. Amen. So many people don't even try to understand God, don't even want to understand God. The Bible says that the carnal mind cannot understand God. It's impossible. And the Bible said the carnal mind is an enemy of God. There's enmity between the carnal mind and God. We cannot understand God just with this unregenerate mind that we have. Amen. But God can touch our mind, and God can renew our mind, the Bible says. And we can have the mind of Christ. But as we are right now, we do not have understanding. It's impossible for a strictly carnal man to understand spiritual things. The Bible said to him, their foolishness. Amen. Praise God. People cannot understand why you're here today in this church service singing praises and sitting through a sermon. They don't understand why you would do that when you could be fishing, you could be hunting, you could be watching a football game if there is one. I don't know when that starts, but whatever. Amen. But you could be doing other things, but you choose of your own volition today to sit here in this service and lift your hands to an invisible God. Amen. And feel chill bumps running by up and down your spine as the Holy Ghost. Now you look foolish to other people, but you and I know that there's something real. We're plugged into something here today. Amen. I've heard people say, I only believe in what I can see. No, you don't. You believe in electricity. If you don't, I'll make you a believer real quick. Amen. I promise you won't see it, but you sure will feel it. Amen. I may not see God, he's invisible, but I can promise you I can feel him. Hallelujah. The Bible said that anybody that seeks him with your whole heart, you can feel him also. And you can know him. Amen. But man is unreasonable. He doesn't understand. And the Bible said that he's unresponsive. That is, there's none that seek after God. They're not seeking God. The Bible said if we seek him, we will find him. You remember when Adam sinned, what was this reaction? To seek God? No, it was to hide from God. He was unresponsive. Instead of running to God, he tried to run from God. And so that's man's response. He's unresponsive to God. Amen. I remember those days when I tried to run from God instead of seeking God. Amen. Man in general is unrepentant. The Bible said they're all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Amen. There's a lot of wickedness in the world. Amen. Sin is not only judged by its action, but also by its motive. Some right things are done for the wrong reason. Say it again. Some right things are done for the wrong reason. There are people that contribute money to a good cause, but for the wrong reason. Amen. Praise God. The motive is wrong. So sin, oftentimes, it may appear righteous, but the motive can be just as wrong as it can possibly be. Men are unrepentant. And then the Bible talks about our wickedness. And it said, first of all, it talks about our words are wicked. What was it James said? He said, the man that offendeth not in word, the same as a perfect man. If you never say one wrong word, you're perfect. Anybody perfect here today? Anybody ever not said one wrong word? Amen. Didn't think so. Amen. He said their throat is an open sepulcher. Boy, that's quite a picture, isn't it? Amen. That's you know what's in a sepulcher? Death. Death's in a sepulcher. He said they just speak death. Amen. And then he said in their tongues, they have used deceit. Their poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Amen. You get an asp or a poisonous snake, and he normally keeps his fangs tucked up inside the top of his mouth, but he coils up and rears his head back, and he puts those fangs down, and he sinks them into his victim, and he injects his victim with his venom. Amen. And that's exactly what words do. I've seen people do that very thing with words. They just, their whole countenance change. You ever watch that? Somebody's mad. You know it, buddy. The Bible, so I love that phrase. It says his countenance was fallen. It's like the whole thing just falls down, turns red. You can see the smoke rising. Amen. The eyes dilate and the nostrils flare. And you're like an old serpent getting ready to strike. And you get your words ready to sink into your victim with the venom of your words to hurt and to destroy with the very best that's in you. Amen. I hope you see that picture next time you get tempted to say something bitter, something cursing, something deceitful. Amen. Praise God. So we men have wicked words, and our ways are wicked. The Bible said, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. They run to do evil. They run to do evil. It's not, in other words, there's no restraint. It's not like they're fighting to hold themselves back. They jump into it wholeheartedly. It's interesting that the first sin out of the Garden of Eden was murder. Man didn't gradually get sinful. I mean, he started out with a bang. The very first sin that's listed after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden is murder. That was when Cain murdered his brother Abel. Amen. And he tried to purge blood out of his sacrifice and out of his worship. And instead he shed the blood of his very own brother. And trying to purge himself and make it cleaner and make it more acceptable and make it kinder and make it sweeter. Amen. And instead it was none of that. Amen. And so murder came as a result of all of that. And that's a part of it, isn't it? Amen. Verse 16 said destruction and misery are in their ways. Everybody say misery and destruction. We know something about that, don't we? Amen. World War I was the war that was supposed to end all wars. They said after this, there will be no more war like this. And in less than 30 years, there was another war. We called it World War II. And after World War I, we started the League of Nations, so that would never happen. Well, that failed. And after that, we started the United Nations, and that hasn't helped either. Amen. And so still, there's misery and there's murder in the world, in the world. And literally, millions and millions and millions of people lost their lives in those wars, and it's still carrying on today. Still carrying on today. We haven't cured that. Amen. There's wars all around the world. There's misery all around the world. The condition, human condition's not better, folks. I said it's not better. I'm told that in the process of evolution, we just keep getting better and better and better. And that's not what I'm seeing. I see us getting worse and worse and worse and worse. We have perfected a lot of technology, but we'll use it for the purpose of destruction. Amen. And in the ancient days, at least war was hand to hand. And you could at least see the person that was going to take your life. Now then, you can just fly a drone like a video game over some place and blow up a place. And then there's not any human involved except somebody with a joystick hundreds of miles away. Amen. We perfected that. We're good at it. We're good at destruction. We're good at causing misery. Amen. And I understand that today. It's a terrible thing, but it's the human condition. It's where we are. We can't hide our head in the sand. I think it was, I don't remember, Sheryl Crow perhaps, one singer after 9/11 said, "Well, let's just don't make any more enemies." I wish it was that simple. I wish we could do it that way. I wish it would happen like that. But it doesn't happen that way. We have to defend ourselves. Amen. All that has to happen for evil to overcome good is for good men to do nothing. Thank God for our military. Thank God for our men and women that put on their uniforms and march to battle and defend our liberties. I thank God for them. They need to be in our prayers. We need to appreciate them. We need to honor them. Amen. And because they do us a great, great service. And I thank God for that. And our peace officers here in the United States, thank God for the good ones among them as well. They're not popular right now. It's become open season against them. And so it's a difficult place. Our world is not an easy place to live in. There's a lot of misery around us. Is there not? Amen. And then there's a mutiny. The Bible said there's no fear of God before their eyes. Boy, do we see that today. Do we see that today? Amen. There's no fear of God. God's just the man upstairs. Amen. He's just the big daddy in the sky. Amen. He's just some kind of a celestial sugar daddy. You can sugar him up and you can butter him up. And you can just with a few prayers learn how to appease him. With a few coins of faith, you can get anything you want to out of him. God is there to please you and to serve you and to supply you. And it's all about you. That's where we are in our world today. Even in Christianity. I said even in Christianity. Brother, if I don't like this church, I'll find one I do like. You say something I don't like here, I'll just go somewhere. They'll say something I want to hear. Bible said in the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. And they will only go where they will hear what they want to hear. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, the Christian message has lost a lot of its strength. There are places today that has Christianity on the door, but not in the pulpit and not in the pew. Amen. They will not speak against sin or unrighteousness, lest they offend somebody. You can't be saved without being offended. You got to know you're wrong before you can get right. Somebody said the job of ministry is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. It's a two-edged sword. I don't want to get so comfortable that I can't get discomforted when I'm doing something wrong. If I'm not living right, God, please send somebody to stir me up. Send somebody to say something or preach something or sing something that'll get a hold of me and get me right again. Don't let me be comfortable in unrighteousness and just make excuses instead of making changes. Mutiny, men have gone against God. Amen. The Bible said we're helpless. Verse 19. Now, we know what things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, but every mouth shall be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Amen. Nobody's going to be able to excuse themselves. We're all going to stand guilty before the throne. Isn't that right? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You cannot do anything to justify yourself. You don't have anything to bring to God that will justify you. You don't have any excuse that's acceptable. There's not anything that I can do. There's not anything that you can do to justify ourselves. All of us simply stand before God guilty. 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 Amen. You say, but Brother Grissom, I made a new resolution. I'm going to do better from here on. Well, what about what you've already done? What if you owed somebody $10,000 and you wrote him a letter saying, "Sir, I have decided today," or somebody owe you $10,000 and you get a letter that says, I'm going to be a better person starting today, and I'm going to pay my debts from here on. I'll never ever fall behind on my debts again. I'm not going to pay you the $10,000 because I'm starting right now. How would you feel about that? Not too good, huh? Amen. You see, we've got things already piled up against us. Much less, if I decide today I'll never do wrong again, and I couldn't if I tried. You see, I don't have any justification. I'm hopeless today. Amen. For by law is the knowledge of sin. The only way you know you do wrong is if there's a law. That's how you know you're doing wrong. Law defines sin, but it can't cure sin. It can't justify sin. It just defines it. It just tells you what you're doing wrong. It doesn't help you do right. That's the weakness of the law. Amen. But I'm telling you today, though we're helpless and we're hopeless, amen, we do have deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul said, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, he's saying that this has been approved by the law and has been approved by the prophets, the righteousness of God. You see, God's righteousness is above the law because God's righteousness established the law. Yeah, we've all said this perhaps and said, well, you know, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's a pretty weak standard. At least I've never killed anybody. That's a pretty weak standard. Right? How many ever heard that one? At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, you must think they're pretty bad to use them as a standard to justify your wrongdoing. Amen. But God, you see, he established the law. His righteousness is above the law. His righteousness is the law. So his righteousness is absolutely approved. Amen. Praise God. And then it said, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there's no difference. This is a unique righteousness that comes from God. Amen. The Bible says, Brother Wesley, that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's an awesome statement. We become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And when I look at who I was and I look at what I was and realize the man that I used to be and all of the wrong things that I've done in my life, and to understand that all of that unrighteousness can become righteousness. And God can put his approval upon my life. Amen. And with all of that stuff there, he can still put his approval upon my life. How in the world can God do that? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. But you got to be in Jesus Christ for that to happen. You can't come in your own righteousness because you don't have any. You don't have any righteousness. Amen. The Bible says that we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you get there. You know what redemption is? It means somebody paid a price to buy you, to purchase you, to pay for you. Amen. That's the only way. The Bible says we were sold under sin. Somebody said, I don't belong to anybody. Yes, you do. To whom you yield your members, whether to righteousness or to unrighteousness, that's who you belong to. If you are unrighteous and you do unrighteous deeds and acts, you are sold under unrighteousness. If you're trying to do righteous acts, then you are sold to righteousness. Everybody's got a master in life. We're either slaves of sin or we are servants of Jesus Christ. All of us are going to serve somebody. And the Bible said no man can serve two masters. Amen. You're free, but your freedom is to make a choice. Which life do you want to live? Which master do you want to serve? Do you want to serve sin unto destruction? Or do you want to serve Jesus Christ unto eternal life? We have to make a decision in our life. And that's our liberty. Amen. So somebody paid a price to deliver us. Somebody paid a price to get us out of sin's slavery. Amen. And here's the price. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's what it cost. Was the Bible calls it the blood of God. And that's true, isn't it? Because Jesus Christ is God. God who had no blood demanded a payment of blood and sacrifice of blood. And in fullness of time, God who is spirit put upon himself a form of flesh with blood. And in time, God in flesh sacrificed that flesh, shed that blood as the purchase price for my redemption and your redemption so that he could set us free and give us righteousness. And give us his righteousness. God is so righteous that he counts that righteousness, his own righteousness. He said, I've got enough righteousness to cover everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If I had enough compassion today that I wanted to feed everybody in Athens, Texas, a steak dinner today, that would be a good motive, wouldn't it? But I don't have the means. I'll be like the guy that walked in the restaurant and said to the waiter, he said, serve everybody. When I eat, everybody eats. Man, everybody ordered the biggest thing on the menu. Then he stood up and pulled his wallet out and said, everybody pay. When I pay, everybody pays. That would be my dilemma. That's all I've got. Amen. But I serve a God who is so rich and so vast and so righteous and so merciful and so powerful that he can declare the unrighteous and cover the unrighteousness with his own perfect and pure blood, and he can justify the unjustifiable. Amen. That's how big and how great and how righteous God is today. That's why we love him and that's why we serve him. Amen. He's the only one today that can call righteousness. And he can look at me that now that I've been baptized in his name and covered with his blood and filled with his spirit and sealed by his name. And even though I have a past, God can look at me and declare me righteous. God can look at me and say, he's just now. Amen. Not by my own righteousness, I don't have any. But because of his righteousness. That's how vast and how mighty God is today. There's an odd custom comes from history, country of England. In the country of England, there was what was called a whipping boy. You see, people thought that kings were created by God. And because they were appointed by God, the king should never be punished, even when he was a prince. And so to avoid correcting or whipping a prince, they would get him a whipping boy. And the whipping boy would bear his punishment. So in school, instead of criticizing the prince, they would criticize the whipping boy. And if the deed was bad enough that it called for a whipping or for punishment, then they would punish the whipping boy, not the prince, because the prince was a future king. And so it is. And I don't know how you feel about that today, but something inside of me says that is so unjust and that is so unrighteous. Why in this world should anybody be punished for what somebody else did? That is not right. Anybody feel like that today? I think that's the dumbest idea that I've ever heard of. Amen. Hey, there's something about that that just gets under my skin that ought to be. But you see, there was also a price that came with it. What happened in time, most of the time, is that whipping boy and that prince would become very close. It would become, have a close relationship. And it came a time that it would pain the prince to see his whipping boy being punished, because he realized that that really should be me. That shouldn't be my friend. That shouldn't be this young man that I am so very close to. And so in time, it would affect the prince, affect his heart, and affect him as well. It would affect his behavior when he saw his unrighteousness being heaped upon another. My whole point here today is that Jesus Christ really is our whipping boy, because God took all of my unrighteousness and all of your unrighteousness and all of my wickedness and all of your wickedness, and he cast it upon him. The Bible said he was wounded for my transgressions, and he was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was put upon him, and it pleased God to bruise him. He took all of that because I couldn't take it. And because he took it, because it was put on him, and he went to Calvary with my sin and my transgression and died in my stead, God can hold me accountable. But he can justify my sin because it's been paid for by the whipping boy. That's why we need Jesus Christ today. That's why you can't get by without him. That's why you can't get to heaven without him. Because all of your unrighteousness must be placed on him. It's the only way. You cannot bear the brunt of your own sin. You cannot pay for your own unrighteousness. You have nothing to pay with. You and I are bankrupt spiritually without Jesus Christ. But he's our deliverance today. He's our deliverance today. God put it all on him. And he became my sacrifice. He became my substitute. He became the propitiation for my sin, so that I can stand today justified in the righteousness of God through his righteousness. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes whipping boys were rewarded by the princes they served. You see, think about a prince, he eventually becomes a king. And such as when King Charles I became king, he made his whipping boy the first earl. Amen. He said, you've done all this for me. I'm going to do something for you. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know what Jesus has done for us? He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. It's not over yet, folks. Blessings are still coming. The best is yet to come. It's not over. Our deliverance, our complete and final deliverance, is just a breath away. It's just a heartbeat away. Amen. It's just one final step away, and I'll be home. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful for my deliverer today. How about you? Let's lift our hands right now and give God thanks today. Jesus, thank you for redeeming me and cleansing me and saving me. If you haven't been to Jesus today for the cleansing blood, I advise you to do so now. Please come. Don't waste the blood of Calvary. Not one drop. Amen. Don't try to approach God in your own righteousness. He's already told us they're nothing but filthy rags. It's not acceptable. If you could be righteous today, what are you going to be do about all you've already done? You've already said, You've already been. We can't do it, folks. We don't have it in ourselves. It's got to come from Jesus. It's got to come from Jesus. Amen. I'm going to open this altar today. If somebody, you need His righteousness, you need His blood, would you come today and stand in His stead? Jesus, I can't do this by myself. I can't even bear the punishment of my own sin, because I can never pay for it. I'm bankrupt. I don't have any righteousness today. I stand in need of yours. But here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Cover me. Cleanse me. Help me.